Thank you, Brother Twain, for those kind words. Am I on? And yeah, he's right. I cannot remember all the details of that night, but I was in great suffering, and really, I don't know where that pain was coming from, and to my legs, I cannot understand. I never understand where that from, but I was so grateful that Brother Don and Brother Dwayne, they've been, who knows, I can't remember how many hours they were there with me. They didn't leave me alone. And eventually, you know, some people do have to perhaps see some type of sign for them to believe that what you're saying is true. You know, perhaps right at the same time that I was asking this guy if he needed to be a minister, he would have received a blessing. You know, it all depends how the faith that we have. Or he would have received a blessing later, maybe not right there at the spot, but as I dare being in the hospital for a few weeks, I know that I was in some type of test. Because, you know, the Lord says that he's going to pass us through fire just to test us, just to see where we are with him. And that's the way I see it, that as I was in the hospital, that was a test for me. And I never failed. I can say with my whole mouth that I didn't fail to him. I'm always keep him in my thoughts. I always pray to him every time I had the opportunity. And every time that the minister would come to visit me, I never wasted that opportunity for them to have them pray over me. That's the needer that I have, because I was in need. Yeah, that's for sure. I was in need. But I know that I was in good hands. And when we receive the blessing, that specific day that I was about to be transported to somewhere else to get into some kind of surgery, it was a last thing that the doctors wanted to do for me. I received a blessing that specific day, and everything was canceled. And after that day, everything went so fast that there is no explanation that they let me go in 2 days after that. But we all know, and I know, that the God interview there in my sicknesses that I was going through. So I give him the honor and the glory to him all the time. And it happened around this time. And so as I was driving this morning to church, I was telling my wife, I love this time of the year. And I dare mention to her, because I was in the hospital around this time, and she's like, don't say that again. don't bring that up again. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is my favorite time, because it's everything, all the mountains are dressed up with wildflowers, and it's so green, and it's so beautiful up there. It's too bad that I don't have that much time to go and run my bike with Brother Gary or doing other things, outdoor activities. But I try to enjoy the desert in a way that I know that is. That we see it, that it's a blessing from God, and these days that we are living, and the weather we have, we know we give him all the credit to him, because it's all his, it's all his creation. So we get to enjoy his creation in times that it's nice outside. So without going another way, as you can see, my sermon that I have today for you guys, it's funny, and I should say it's not funny, but it's kind of cool how God talks to you, and how he put those thoughts in you, and then you know that he is letting you know the things that you need to work on, and and uh, you can take it in any way you want, and in a humanist way, it's just a thought. And you, and if you know, if you don't write it down, it's gonna go away. And so sometimes I do get these thoughts in my head, and I told Rebecca, and she's like, write it down before you forget. That's God talking to you, and I do see it that way, and it's so cool. A lot of the scriptures that my brother used this morning, perhaps they might be pretty similar to the one I have. He did not pass it to me, or I did not call him. But what are you going to use? That's how God talked to us, and that's the way I see it. And so, the most desired garments, I should have put garments, but the most desired garment that we should have. Listen, if we don't have the right desire of faith in our heart, we are too far from God. And that is so truthful in these days because, as we live in this world, there's so much stuff up there that perhaps we even make a plan every year. This year I'm going to accomplish this, or this is my desire that I want this or I want that, and so we kind of focus on those things, and that is what keep us going through the year, and that's what we're fighting for. But sometimes we don't know, we haven't realized we are fighting for something that is maybe it has no worth, it has no value, but here we are going. Working hard, working every day, long hours, and for what? I mean, we're working for something that is it's gonna stay behind. We get to enjoy it for a minute, for a second, for a few days, a few months, but then that specific thing that we just got, after that, we still kind of empty. We haven't found the happiness that we are looking for, and that's more for even for people that they haven't recognized that they need Jesus Christ in their lives. And we have a lot of examples, and we have heard of many people who have gone the other way. Not the narrow way, but the wide way, whatever. Because they think that's the easy way. And at the end of that path, it's just nothing but destruction. And we see it. And we see it even in our own church. That told us that not by, coming to church every Sunday, we're going to be safe. We have a lot to learn, and we have a long way, and we're going to have obstacles on the way. But if we endure and we follow and we obey the commandments of God, I can tell you that, yeah, we're going to be safe. We're going to be with Him. I don't know. We're going to get our answers to each of us in a different way. But one thing I do know, that if we are walking with Christ, we have a better chance than others that are not walking with Him. And so, the most desired garment, I hope that by the end of this PowerPoint, which is, I'm not really good at it, computer stuff, but with the help of my wife and my daughters, they helped me a little bit to put this together. They check my spelling, because I'm a very bad speller. We're going to start. Now, I hope that loosens a little bit. Those are creation of God, too. Awesome, right? So they like to dress up, too, sometimes. Why not? So I'm going to show you guys a lot of garments that you see around the world these days, model clothing the designers make. We have a few here in the church, and so I'm going to show you guys a little bit of those things that that we focus and get, or to work for it, or desire to have this type of clothes. There's so many styles and fashions that comes and go, but my goodness gracious. You can see every day we deal with this, and you see it in the street, and in our hearts, in our human hearts, we do desire to have a nice, you know, a pair of jeans, a nice jacket, and make us happy, like I said, for a minute. I have quite a few slides here, but I'm not going to take 2 hours. There are only 50-something slides here. So I'm just going to continue here and kind of giving you guys a show about the new stylish or clothes or fashions that they come and go. And they perhaps even, you know, as young people, like to dress like that. Franos was one of my favorite t-shirts that I like to have. They go with anything. Yeah, nice pair of boots. I just got myself a nice pair of boots not too long ago. They're so expensive, so that's why it took me a long time, but I just worked for it, and I didn't just go to buy any kind of boots. I wanted the kinds that many of our brothers here wear, so I was so, you know, focusing on those boots to get, okay? So those are weaknesses that we have in our life. To get things like that. A nice hat. Who does not like hats? Especially in Arizona. Belts. This belt is special. It took me a long time to find one because it's handmade. It's handmade. In Mexico, they call them piteados. Piteados is the thread that they use. And it's made by hand, and you don't find them just anywhere, because they only made them in jail. People that are in jail made these type of belts. But there's so many styles, and that's just one. And I got myself one too, but it doesn't go with church clothes. Let's put it that way. A lot of us like the style right there. So summery, especially around this time. Not so much dressing down. You gotta walk a little down when you dress like that, with the hat backwards. Traveling, I like to dress like that when I travel. You can identify yourself by the way you dress, who you are, especially when you go to Mexico. Or places like that. If you dress like that, you better watch out. Oh, now that's nice right there. Skinny pants and it's nice and tight t-shirts. That's nice right there. That's a really nice style right there. I like it. I don't know about other guys here. But. Oh, golf. Shoes. I like Converse. I like Converse left and right. I got a red pair of Converse. From the 80s, I'm from the 80s. They were red, and I wore them for so long that they turned pink. And I didn't want to get rid of them, but my wife, they're like, those tennis, they had to go. They're those nice. I mean, so I said, if you don't throw them away, I will continue wearing them. But, so she did get rid of them. I don't know what she did. She needs to do it behind me, because otherwise I will go to the trash and dig them out again. That's how I am. And she's like, well, maybe it's because you never have that many shoes when you were in Mexico. I'm like, well, perhaps, maybe. But Converse are my favorite shoes to wear. Nacho boots. Who does not like those boots? I mean, who has not seen Nacho Libre, right? Those are his boots right there. And believe it or not, I did have a pair of those white boots. And that was when I was maybe 11 or 12, somewhere there. And I can't believe I saw them in that movie. So I had to get a picture of them. Treasures in heaven. Brother Dwayne talked a little bit about that this morning. And I'm going to read here in Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Lay not up yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust or doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Should we focus on these treasures that I just went through? You know, we had to get dressed. We had to look nice, especially if you're going to work. You had to, you know, look so representable. You know, not just wear anything if you're going to apply to some job. You need to kind of look representable and not showing that you either kind of not interesting, but you are. I mean, because, you know, these days bosses kind of read almost who you are by the way you're dressing, by the way you're talking, by the way you're putting your hands in your pockets, or I don't know. They see all those signs. So there's nothing wrong to dress nice. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But there's still things that perhaps they kind of throw us out, you know, and instead of ourselves as Christians staying in the path. In Alma, chapter 2, we read a little bit about the, I'm going to go ahead and open it, just in case. It says, the people of the church begin to lift up and pry of their eyes. And we read a little bit about that. It's about the people that they have built their synagogues. And if you remember, they were thrown out from the synagogues because the way they were dressing really poverty. I'm sorry? Poorly. Thank you. The clothes they were wearing. And because that, their own priests, they kicked them out. And so we see that we forget how much God has blessed us. And once we get up on our feet and we have all this that we dare desire, but we have it in so much that we forget about how God has blessed us. And we found out that in Ecclesiastes also we hear that not to get into that so much, because afterwards we're not going to take it. And that's the thing, that all this that we work hard for is just this behind. And we forget and the right things that we need to focus, like earning the right garments. And that is our goal at the end, that we are fighting for, that we are enduring to the end to earn the right garments. In Job 1:21, it says that, and say, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. We have an old saying in Mexico that says, only one One hand of dirt is what you take with you. But I don't even think they either that you take with you. The word that we are living today, this is about Elijah's dream, and we understand a little bit about what was going on there when he saw the building next to him, next to the wrought iron that was leading our people to the tree. And Elijah, the way he explained it here is that he saw all this, all his people, and he was trying to bring their attention of them and perhaps see if he can prevent them from looking into the other side of the river and his dream. And it says here in 1 Nephi 2:71, 76, it says, "And also I cast my eyes around about, and behold, on the other side of the river of water, a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those which had come out and were partaking of the fruit. And after that they had taste of the fruit, and they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing them, and they fell away into forbidden paths, and they were lost." And these days, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that are lost, and they have partake of the fruit of the tree. They have been baptized, but through the time, they have walked away because the mocking, the pointing of the finger, the mocking of the people of this world, because they know who we are. And so they are dressing with constantly clothing, and they are making funny, perhaps, of those that look poor. But at the end of this PowerPoint, I hope that we may put those words in our minds and our heart, that we are not poor, that we might look poor outside according to what we're wearing, but at the end, what is in our hearts is what God sees, what is in our hearts. And we can see here in this picture the building that is on the other side, and our people and those who have partake of the baptism, and how they feel ashamed through the time. And so we need to stay strong in our faith as we walk in this world, because that building on the other side, we are surrounded by them. It's still here. We know and understand that in the beginning, Adam and Eve did not listen to God, to the commandments that he told them to do. And so maybe the first sacrifice of animals, because he made them clothes, garments of skin of animals. And so we see here in Genesis 3:21, it says, "And to Adam also, and unto his wife, there the Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them." He didn't make them coats like fine, like we just saw right now, like these guys right here, but it was more like this. I don't know if you wear something like that, but I don't think the clothes does not mean anything. What we wear does not mean anything. What is inside, and the way we act and the way we speak, that's what it matters. Because by that, we be identified even to the world. But God knows who we are, because he can read our thoughts. He can read what we're thinking. In 1 Nephi 3:11-18, it says, And my father say, this is a little bit of what happened if we don't follow Christ. What happened if we don't make that decision of baptizing, which is really hard decision to make. I don't know why. I don't know why really it's really hard when you have been here in the church and you have heard all kinds of messages about what we need to do. I'm going to read. And my father say, he's talking about Christ, that he shall baptize in Bethabara beyond Jordan. And he also speak that he shall baptize with water, yea, even that he shall baptize the Messiah with water. And after he hath baptized the Messiah with water, he shall behold and bear record that he has baptized the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And this is John, who has witnessed this special person that he just baptized. He has realized that it was the Son of God. It was the Lamb. It was the one that they were waiting for. But even that, he had thought that he was not so sure, because if we remember when he was in jail, he sent his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one?" So he still have, he was not so sure, even that God told him, "Where who you see the Spirit landing, that is my beloved Son." But even that, he was not so sure about that. And it came to pass that after my father has spoken the words, he's speaking to my brethren concerning the gospel which should be preached among the Jews, and also concerning the dwelling of the Jews in unbelief. And after they had slain the Messiah which should come, and after that he had been slain, he shall rise from the dead and shall make himself manifest by the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. Yea, even my father speak much concerning to the Gentiles, and also concerning the house of Israel, that they should be compared like unto an olive tree, whose branches should be broken and should be scattered upon all the face of the earth. You know, that specific verse right there. And Boca Ines, you know, we read a lot about the tree, olive tree. And I find it really interesting that how true that is, because we are all over the earth, you know. And a lot of people don't understand what does that mean. You know, they don't understand that we are part of the 12 tribes of Israel. We are from the Israelites. But they're like, how did that happen? How we got here? Of course, all that information you find it in the Book of Mormon, which is another story, and it's another thing. Brother Adam just had a class about that, how to present proofs, how to prove the Book of Mormon to people that did not know anything of it. And so, even my father speak much concerning the Gentiles and also concerning the house of Israel, that they should be compared like unto an olive tree whose branches should be broken off and it should be scattered upon the face of the earth. Wherefore, he say, must need be that we shall be led with one accord into the promised land, into the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, we should be scattered upon all the face of the earth. And after that, the house of Israel should be scattered, they should be gathered together again. The key word here, I find it. What is the key word? How are we going to be gathered together again? You know, I believe that that's talking about the end days, that we be at the kingdom of God, because our names, they have been written down in the Book of Life. But if we are not baptized, as Brother Glenn says this morning, Brother Twain, I'm sorry, we're not going to get there. We're not going to be gathered with them. And that's something that we need to think about. If you want to be part of this group, the doors are open. As the song we just sing, he patiently is waiting out the door. Baptize is a word that we need to put in our hairs, and especially those who haven't made that decision to follow Christ, to be at the feet of Christ, and be part of his kingdom. As you can see, they're all wearing white robes. And those are the garments that we need to look forward to be wearing. Not this, not this. Or not those things that I just showed you guys. We need to look, to dress, to be part of those garments. We read the testimony of Peter when he saw the transfiguration of Christ when he went to the mountain and meet with Moses and Elijah. And it says right here in 2 Peter, this is now from the Gospels, but this is Peter's testimony that, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also more short word of prophecy, wherein to ye do well that ye take heed, and unto the light that shineth in dark place, and to the day down, and the day star arise in your hearts. He is witnessing, he is trying to prove, listen, I was there, I saw, I'm telling you that he is the Son of God. And he saw them in white garments, so shiny. And you can see that too in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And so it really brought my attention that this is whoever won this race, we have a prize, we have a gift, is to wear the holy garments. Our brother Joseph Smith, in the days of his youth in New York, we all know that he, and his testimony says that he saw two personages. He didn't say exactly which one was, but one of them told the other, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And to him, that was God and Jesus Christ. And so they're wearing their garments that's so white that you can even see them straight out. The vision of our brother John, the Revelator, in Revelations, we read in chapter 4, 1 to 3. And this I look, and behold, a door that was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me, which say, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto a mirror. And as we can see right there in this picture also, they is so, and Revelations told us that, you know, when we get to be in heaven and his kingdom, there won't be no need of that light, because the sun, because there will always be a light and there will be no dark. The darkness won't be existing anymore. And so that comforts me, because that's what we were looking for. That's what the path that we're going, to be with him and to be part of him and to be part of the gathering. If we're not wearing the right garments, and as we know, we can read in Matthew here, in 22:11-14, it says, "And when the king came and to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how comest thou in hither not having wedding garment?' And he was speechless." What are you going to tell him? "I'm here, I made it, what does it matter?" There's a lot of shortcuts. I don't know who said it, but in the Bible, I think it was probably Joe in the Bible in the back. I know the Bible, and my Bible says, if you say this prayer, you're saved. You don't have to do anything else, but you'll be saved by grace. And once you say that prayer, Christ will come to you and take over your life, and you're saved. But we all know that in Mark 16:16, it says that, if we do not believe, we are condemned already. Because Christ's commandment to the disciples was to go and do disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Ghost. He told to Nicodemus also that you had to be born again by the water. So you cannot jump a wall and be part of the wedding garments. Then say the king to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but a few are chosen." You can believe in Christ, but that doesn't mean that we are safe. Remember, the scripture says that even the devil believes in Christ, but is he safe? I don't know about that. Let's not take a shortcut. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." In 1 Nephi 3:33-35 says, "Therefore remember, O men, for all thy doings, that thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, then you are found unclean before the judgment seat of God. And no unclean thing can dwell in God, with God. Wherefore, you must be cast off forever." We can see it in the Book of Mormon today. We cannot take the shortcut. We have to. Once we walk in the narrow path and we walk through the door of baptism, we have to continue on and not to take a shortcut. We have to face problems in our lives. We have to face mocking from the world, or pointing at the finger, just making fun of us, or dealing with sickness and jobs and all that stuff that bring us down. We all know that is not coming from all those tests. I can say that we are in probation. We are in probation. Probation is going to prove us. God is going to prove us. See where we are with him. We can see in this picture right there that this guy is being taken out because the king knows that he doesn't belong there. And I don't think that we want that to happen to any of us. And that's why we come to church every Sunday. Perhaps our families can see the message and how serious this is, that if we're not walking with God, we are walking without him. And we are enjoying the things of the world. In Revelation 3:5, it says, he that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blow out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This is what Christ wants of each of us, of you and I, to be clothed with the white raiment. Because our names, they have been written down in the book of life with the most precious ink, which is his blood. Because he gave up his blood for us. Revelation 7:9 says, after this I beheld, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I hope and pray that that's where all want to be dressed with the white robes in his kingdom and be part of his kingdom, and be part of the garden. We all know the parable of the rich man. He asked Christ how to obtain the eternal life, and Christ told him how it is. But one thing he told him is to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And we all know that this guy was super rich, and perhaps it took him a lot of work, or who knows how he got rich, and it was not just like that to give it away and do what? What's next? Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest that I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you have everything and you have no need of me. You should look more deeper. And those are the things that we have to deal with every day, because I know a lot of people in my world especially, they think they're up higher than I am, and I say good morning, they don't even say anything. So sometimes that kind of bothers me, but you know, I remember words of God, and I pray for them, and I pray for me, that I give me patience, and you know, pray for those who insult you, those who bother you, those who rub you the wrong way. You have to be a good example. We have to be a light in the world. That's how he said. And James 5:1 says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. The scriptures, they talk for us. His word and his books, it is so true. But we are the ones that make decisions to either obey and not obey. Because it's so plainful, as clear as water, that if you want to be saved, if you want to be part of me, you have to follow me. And look here in 12, chapter 12, 13 to 21, it says, "And one of the company said to him, 'Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me.' And he said to him, 'Man, who made me judge or divider over you?' And he said to him, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possessed.' And he speak a parable unto them, saying, 'The ground of certain rich men brought forth plentiful. And he thought with himself, saying, What should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will be all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid out for many years. Take thine eat and drink and be merry. But God saying to him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich for God." You know, in my town, there was this man that I used to work for him, and he was super rich. He has all these cows. He had a big mansion, lots of land. He had no kids. And he will always eat beans and drink milk. And he was rich. And I used to work for him, and we know he was kind of tight with his money. And that reminds me that he passed, he died. And the wife, after many years, I don't know, quite a few years, she got married with somebody else, another guy. And this guy, he went and bought himself a big truck, and he was enjoying what this guy didn't enjoy, and then even that he worked for it. So we have an old saying that says in Mexico, we say, "No sabes para quien trabajas." You don't know who you work for. And so this scripture right here is telling us not to put our trust in what we earn. And if you work hard, put it to work in a good way and don't keep it with you. And when the time of the opportunity comes, that somebody needs help, perhaps you can be a blessing to that person. Instead of thinking, I'm just going to stuck somewhere underground or whatever and not share it with anybody. For what? You're just going to leave it there. Those are the things that the word that God told us, warning us not to trust. I'm going to read a little about this woman, and we all know the woman that touched the robe of Christ as she was dealing with this sickness for many years. In Mark 5:25 to 34, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard about Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knew himself, the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and say, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples saying to him, 'Thou seest the multitude throwing thee and sayest, Who has touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done these things. But the woman feared and trembled, knowing that was done on her, and came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." This is the touch of faith I typed there, because this woman was dealing with these sicknesses for who knows many years that she had. And once she heard about Jesus coming to town, she wanted to get close to him and touch his robe. And so much faith was hers that she was able to get close to him. We should feel the same way in these days, because we are in probation and we have not get close to him at all. We need to get close to him. And Luke 6:17 says, "He came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of the Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their disease. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude saw to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all." We can see here that they all have seen all the miracles that he's been doing, and he was a man of God, he was a prophet, he was the one that we're waiting for, and all they wanted to do is to touch him to be healed of their things. In Psalms we read a little bit of prophecy about Christ. It says, Psalms 22:16-18, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, the pierce of my hands and my feet. I might tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my virtue." This woman, all she wants is to get close to him and to be healed. But if we not know him and we doing the things that we should not be doing, we are way too far from him. In John we read that when he was crucified, in 19:23-24, it says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier in part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they say, therefore, among themselves, let us not rent it, but cast lots for it." The soldiers, they were right there with him. They took his clothes and they raped it in four parts. They tear it in four parts. Won't you think that they would be, if they were in the right heart, if they were looking for Christ, if they were looking for salvation, they should know that they were so close to him and so much that they touch his garments. But they were not in the right heart. You know, Christ says, "My sheep knows who I am. I call and they hear me." Weakly people that do things like that, they're not close to him. And as we can see here, how the see who they take their take his clothes, they play in. And Isaiah 52:1, it says, "Awake, awake, and put on thy strength, O Zion, and put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as bride adorned herself with her jewels. This is our goal, to wear these holy garments, that we may be clothed with them and be part of his table. And the marriage of the Lamb, it says in Revelations 19:6-9, and I heard, as it is where the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. And to her was granted there shall be array in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saying to me, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saying to me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they which are called into the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. I'm pretty sure the table is long, the table is big. We all invited, you all invited to be part of him and be able to live forever in his kingdom and wearing these beautiful garments and not what we fight for every day. And I find this picture here, and I can see each of us sitting in his table. How wonderful would that be, that we may get to see each other, as we know it's lonely we are living this world. And we have to be prepared for that. You can take it however you want. If this is just a story, or am I saying things that maybe just coming out of my mouth, but this is the word of God. And this is what's going to happen in the end, and it's coming quickly. So we have to be prepared for that. Revelation 21:23-27. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine on it, for the glory of God there lighting on it, and the Lamb as the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut out all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of other nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defile, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a liar, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is for each of us. That is for each of us. But for those who do an iniquity up there, we can see it here, and it's not coming from us. This is God's word. He's talking to you right now. You are invited to the wedding, to the table. There's a song up there that says, come to the table, come and be and meet the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Come and be safe. I like that song. I pray and hope that this message touched your heart tonight. And I pray that God work in your heart, that perhaps this seed has been planted in your heart, and make it grow. And it's not too late. There's always time. Pretty short, but it's still time for you to make that decision. God bless you, and thank you so much.